May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
As a young schoolboy, I was often mystified by my teacher's explanations. Whether that was my fault or theirs, I'm not going to tell you. But I can remember sitting behind my desk, listening intently to my teacher, nodding my head sagely and wondering to myself, what the goodness is she talking about? And then came the inevitable question, have you understood all this? And I would say, yes, hoping that I wouldn't be tested. Well, later on in my life, I became a maths teacher, and that particular scene was played out innumerable times in my classroom. But me seeing it from a different standpoint. And I'm wondering about Jesus' disciples, whether or not they were not in the self-same kind of situation when Jesus was teaching in parables. We know that they had trouble with the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and the weeds because they asked him in private to explain them. But what about the mustard seed? What about the yeast? What about the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the net thrown into the sea? And Jesus asked them, have you understood all this? I wonder how confident they were of their yes at the end of it. Jesus was happy not to test them, but to leave them and us with a bit of a riddle. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. What does that mean? What do you think? Perhaps a scribe trained for the kingdom of heaven is someone who can recognize the newness of Jesus' teaching whilst recognizing that it's grounded on what has gone before. If we can make sense of Jesus in his Jewish roots, but also see that he revolutionizes our ideas about God, then we'll be those who can bring out treasure, old and new, and begin to live lives fit for the kingdom. When I was a teacher, some of my A-level students didn't want to be bothered with understanding the reasons why certain mathematical methods worked. They said to me, just show us how to do this technique so I can answer the question in the exam. But the trouble was, if the question in the exam was worded slightly differently, then they were lost. They didn't know which method to use. They became unstuck. Jesus is the wise teacher. He doesn't just give us answers to memorize without understanding. He offers us stories, parables, even riddles to make us think deeply, because there's always more that we don't know about God, always more we haven't understood, haven't experienced. Well, there's no time this morning to go through all those parables, so let me just pick two. A man stumbles upon treasure in a field that he does not own. I imagine him quickly covering it over again and going and selling everything he's got in order to buy that field. Same goes for the merchant. And she sees the pearl like no other pearl. She hastily goes, sells everything in order that she may possess that one pearl. The emphasis in both those stories is on excitement. It's on the joy of discovery, the love that's engendered, and the urgency that each experiences, that they do not miss the opportunity of ownership. And whilst becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ certainly has a cost attached to it, these little stories remind us that there is nothing else to compare with the importance, with the beauty of Jesus and of life in his kingdom. Did either person sweat over the cost of their purchase? No, of course they didn't. All that they sweated over was whether they would be quick enough to seal the deal before somebody else got there. Hang the price, I must have that treasure. And that will be the disciples' response too. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. St. Paul had a quite different, much more didactic way of teaching. His letters are very long. They have very highly clauded sentences that have kept Bible teachers busy for centuries. And the letter to the Romans is a case in point. Romans chapter 8 is a much multifaceted gem of its own, of the greatest beauty that we can all appreciate. All things work together for good for those who love God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is and there always will be more that we don't know about God than that we do. But that should not stop us from having complete confidence in God's love for us and recognizing that in the gift of his Son, we have an indescribable gift of the greatest worth. Nothing that should hold us back from taking it joyfully. The missionary Jim Elliot wrote in his diary, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Amen.